The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcasting Network. Geeky programming for all the nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcast community forums and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Wicked A!
Hey everyone, this is the Wicked Anime Podcast, episode number 12, where 3 to 4 white guys and occasionally a black guy will talk about Asia. And I'm Dylan, and with me is the Uncommon Rider, Sean.
Howdy guys.
Back again.
Yeah.
Finally.
It's been a minute.
It's been a couple episodes for you guys, but it's been a really long time coming for us.
Yep, that guy who interrupted me is I don't remember, what was your thing again? It was the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan.
What's up, guys?
And and then, of course, hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hi.
Well, I'm done.
All right, just kick things off by ringing the news bell. All right, guys. First up in media for tonight. Have you guys heard about this story in Japan about this remote control malware virus that has been spread around?
No.
It's been a case for quite a few weeks now. I think maybe it's been going on for a couple months even. But originally, there was this virus sent out, and the technical director of Gundam 00, Masaki Kitsumura, was arrested for it under suspicion of being the one who had it.
Oh, I remember when that happened.
Yeah. But
wait, he was arrested because they thought he had it, or they thought he created it or something?
Yeah, they thought he developed it.
Yeah, they thought he was the one who was the original carrier of the virus, and he was sending it out to people. But it turns out he was the first one infected by it.
Seems much more likely.
Yeah.
You famous anime director, you are evil!
But the guy who sent it... I read the entire story because it finally came to completion, and it sounded like a total episode of Law & Order or CSI or something like that, because the guy who sent the virus out was giving cops codes and stuff like that. Like, the malware virus had 5 messages in it, which if they followed the messages, it would bring them to a SD card that had the solution to the malware. It was almost like they were searching for an antidote. And so 2 cops actually figured it out. Like, they figured out the thing, and they found a SD card in the collar of a cat on the side of the road. And the collar...
Classic villain mistake.
Yeah. And
you've got to be kidding me. This sounds like an episode of, like, CSI Miami.
That's what I'm saying. And they used the security cameras of where they found the cat to find the suspicious figure who used the cat, and they ended up finding a suspect. But when they found the suspect, or when they had reason to believe that they were going to find him, before they arrested him, they got emails from the guy who said, "I lost this game, and now I'm going to kill myself." And I don't think it's gone past that yet. They haven't made an arrest yet or anything like that. Or at least when the story was released, they hadn't made an arrest yet. They probably have by now. But I thought that was the craziest news story. You know, just the fact that it played out like a script from a TV show.
Yeah, it was almost a little bit of strange news in there, like, mixed in with that.
I like to think that, like, just an Asian version of Bruce Willis and Danny Glover, like, were going around Japan figuring it out.
Bruce Willis?
Yeah, wasn't it Danny Glover?
It was Mel Gibson.
Oh no, it was Samuel L. Jackson. My bad.
What?
Oh,
in the second movie.
I thought you were talking. You said Lethal Weapon, right?
No, I did not say that at all. I said Bruce Willis and
Samuel L. Jackson.
I had the wrong actor for the second character, but we can move on now.
That was the third movie, Dylan.
That was the third.
If you're talking about Die Hard,
yeah,
that was the...
that's what I was. That was the reference,
yeah.
And we can move past it now. It's gone way too long.
Well, I thought you were talking about Lethal Weapon because you said Danny Glover.
Well, yeah, that was my mistake.
All right,
Danny Glover.
So there's been an announcement for a new series.
That's kind of close.
There's been a new series announcement from one of my favorite anime directors of all time, Hiroyuki Mashi, who is known for directing things like Fooly Cooly, Gurren Lagann, Panty and Stocking, Dead Leaves. He's directed all of those things, and he is now on a new project with Studio Trigger, who they haven't released anything about it. They released one piece of sample art, which really looks influenced by his work, as of course. But they said that they began development on this project 3 years ago before they wrote Panty and Stocking. So it's been in the works for a really long time, and I'm super excited to see it because he's just an excellent visual director. Everything that he does isn't really super based on story, or it doesn't have to be. Gurren Lagann had a really good story to it, but it doesn't have to be, you know, really intense on the story because the action is where it's at. Like, he does just crazy. I mean, like, if you guys saw Dead Leaves,
oh yeah, oh god, yeah,
nope,
yeah,
shaking my head.
It's just gunplay for 50 minutes straight. It's a 50-minute OVA, and it's just 50 minutes straight of gunplay, and that's it.
I have to say that has to be my favorite director I didn't know the name of.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, everything you listed, I was like, yeah, that's kind of like my tops of anime.
Yeah, yeah, but he's coming out with a new project soon, and I'm super excited about it. So next up in media, we have a lot of media tonight. Square Enix has reported that during their last quarter of 2012 that they had a loss of 5.7 billion yen.
Yeah, they're doing terrible. And yeah, I've been following that train wreck for like a couple of months now.
Yeah, USD, that's $61 million.
Yeah.
And they said that they haven't done that bad since 2003.
Since Final Fantasy X.
Don't hate 10.
Oh, I do.
I'm bigger than you, and you know that.
You're also in Gainesville.
Did you hear what they were announcing as, like, their next actual Final Fantasy title?
Do you mean besides the reboot of 14?
Which one's 14? Is that the online one?
Yeah, it's called Final Fantasy 14: A Realm Rebuilt or Reborn.
Yeah, because that thing did terrible.
Yeah, but now, I mean, of course they didn't show any gameplay or anything of it, so I don't know what to think about it. But the production video of it, where they had the trailer of it, that was gorgeous. And,
well, of course it's kind of gorgeous. It's Square Enix, but like, no. What I was actually talking about is instead of doing another core game, like instead of doing 15 or whatever, they've decided that they're going to turn Final Fantasy 13 into a trilogy. And I know, because the first two games did so well. I'm like, what are you guys thinking?
Shooting themselves in the
leading
foot.
Money out right now.
I know. That's
they really like the lightning character for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, I cannot figure that out.
Because she's female Cloud. Yeah. But even still, their games aren't selling. So maybe they should actually bring back Cloud.
Yeah. Like, and their other big push, like their other huge moneymaker. They haven't made a core game for in years, and it doesn't look like they're even in production, which is Kingdom Hearts.
That for one.
That
and,
would really put a Band-Aid on things.
But, I mean, now Square Enix has to worry about all of Eidos' stuff because, you know, they bought Eidos, and so now they have to stick their fingers in all the Hitman pies and all the Kane and Lynch pies.
Hitman pie?
Yeah, and the Tomb Raider pies.
Yeah.
But the major overarching thing was that they were hoping that Dragon Quest X, the MMO that we talked about in like one of our really early episodes, was going to be more successful than it was. It's steadily getting better as it goes on, you know, so they're gaining fans of it and everything like that, but they were really hoping it was going to be a huge hit because I guess Dragon Quest is a really popular series in Japan.
Oh yeah.
It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
But well, apparently it didn't strike as well this time, unfortunately.
This is one of those things that I've been actually like following in my absence from the podcast is the MMO thing, man. These game companies need to get away from it. Unless you have a very good model going into it, you're going to lose money. Every MMO in the last 3 years has been an absolute abject financial failure.
Well, it's because none of them do anything different. Like, every single MMO I have ever played, I've ended up doing the same exact thing with different character models.
Yep.
Like, it's go to into this dungeon, fight these people, do nothing else. Like,
I will say, I just finished up, like, I just capped a character in Star Wars for because it went free-to-play.
Yeah.
Boring as shit. It was just a reskin of WoW. The only thing that I've played that is really... really driven my gears is the Secret World, because it's not like any of those.
Yeah, they've really got to take brand new mechanics and make a brand new MMO.
Well, people right. just know, people should know by now that free-to-play makes more money. They got to stop making these pay-to-play MMOs because they don't make money. And then as soon as they go free-to-play, everybody plays them again, and they make more money than they ever did before, you know, making it free.
Yeah. I'm in complete
agreement. if we see many more MMOs going forward, that's probably what they're going to do, is either have some sort of free-to-play model or some...
buy-to-play.
Microtransactions.
Yeah. Because we recently saw the technical director of the guys who make Dungeons & Dragons online. When that went free-to-play, they just said it's made more money than it ever has before we did free-to-play. So, I mean, like, it just follows a simple business model of make it free to play, and everybody will buy your game, you know?
Well, getting back to the original thing, though, I can't believe Square Enix really feels that, like, putting their feet back into that business model is going to make them any money. I mean, 11, the original online Final Fantasy, which I did play quite religiously for a while there, man, that game was, I mean, it just had such a steep learning curve, you couldn't get anybody into it.
Yeah. But apparently that one still makes money. It's more popular than 14. Like, 14 was supposed to be the new 11, but it sucks so bad that people just still started, like, they stayed playing 11.
I can't tell you how upset I am the fact that they numbered those games. Like, it should have just been, like, Final Fantasy Online. Keep the core numbered games, those single player, story-driven, amazing RPGs that Square Enix knows how to do. We just haven't seen from them in ages.
Yeah, well, I think the business tactic behind numbering it would follow, you know, the thing of the completionists. People need, like, if they saw Final Fantasy Online, maybe they didn't buy Final Fantasy Tactics because it was just Final Fantasy Tactics, but they bought Final Fantasy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then 11 came out and they're like, oh man, I gotta get this MMO just so I can have it.
Yeah.
Yeah, number games sell better. Like, sequels, if you slap a number 2 on it, it's, I guess, statistically proven that it'll sell more. Because there were some Wii games that never had a first game, but were, like, whatever 2.
You're kidding me.
No, I forget what game did that, but I know of at least one that did that on the Wii.
Yes. All right. Well, if you guys remember, we're still talking about news, and so next piece of news for tonight.
Yeah, that was a really long Square Enix conversation.
It was relevant.
Oh, it was totally relevant. It was awesome. Good job. Yeah. Thank you, Sean, for bringing back intelligible conversations.
Oh, you guys missed me.
I hate you, Dylan.
No, we didn't miss you.
So we
missed you.
So the next piece of news, Shonen Jump is coming up on its 45th anniversary.
Oh my god.
And yeah. For this special,
none of their stories are finished yet.
For this celebration, one, they're releasing a new game, which is going to be like the Shonen Jump Smash Brothers thing that they released a while ago.
Wow, yeah. Sounds really cool.
Yeah, I think that sounds. It was cool. Super cool, but it never came to America and was just for the DS.
Well, that's lame.
They're gonna be doing another game like that, but I think it's gonna be team based. And for that, they're promoting it with a 2-part special that is gonna have a crossover of Toriko from the show Toriko, Goku from Dragon Ball Z, and Luffy from One Piece. And if you guys don't know the stereotypes of these characters, all of them like food, so that's probably gonna be an element in the show. Toriko is like
the only character I recognized there was Goku.
Well, Toriko is fairly new, and One Piece is
One Piece. I know. I know what One Piece is, but it involves pirates, so I avoid it like the plague.
It seems like a cool concept. Still haven't gotten into it yet, though. So there's that.
And then for the last piece of media news, this is typically in strange news, but it's not strange this time because it's a little tragic. Something has exploded in China.
Don't laugh yet.
I just want to let the viewer, the listeners know, this is my surprised face.
What happened was a fireworks truck was going down a highway in China, and it ignited and exploded. And because it was on a highway, it was on one of those high bridges, the explosion was so intense that it collapsed the entire bridge.
Holy bananas.
Yeah, and there have been multiple fatalities reported in this, and it's not our funniest explosion ever. I'm sorry.
Why did you even tell us that?
Because hey, John, every once in a while, that's just sad. Because it was something exploding in China and it happened. It's just a part of our theme, guys.
Yeah, oh, I mean, it's not like anybody over there listens to us. We made sure of that.
Yeah.
That's a callback to an old
like,
joke.
I feel like Asian Bruce Willis and Asian Danny Glover had something to do with that.
I definitely think you mean Asian Sam Jackson. But we're
no,
just
I'm
let...
sticking with Danny Glover now. Yeah. I decided.
This has happened. It's been decided. All right, guys. So that's it for media news. It's time to move on to some gaming news. We don't have any real gaming news for the entire time, but Andrew and I, for the past couple days, have been playing the new Fist of the North Star Ken's Rage 2 game.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
It is
Dylan,
awesome.
Do you want to talk about something else while they talk about that?
Yeah, sure.
We actually talked...
get any new teacups?
No, but I have these really cool glasses.
Oh, neat.
Wait, what? You're wearing glasses?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I got it.
I don't think you heard the teacup comment.
No,
just
I got
go.
It.
Yeah,
I know. Like, you're talking
I
about
just
drinking
wanted to
glasses.
Talk of you because once again you guys brought up Fist of the North Star.
What? Who?
Exactly.
You guys.
But the game itself is actually really cool. It's a reboot of the first one, technically. I think because, well, again, technically, they couldn't put everything that they wanted to in the first game. What shines through in this new game is that it runs a lot smoother. They actually put, like, exploding mechanics in it. They don't just break the rigs like they did in the first one. The level-up system is so much easier. Instead of, like, following a chakra chart of your character that gives them new abilities, all you need to do is just punch people and get
stuff
hurt.
Upgrade. Yeah, stuff upgrades.
Do combos, and you get technique upgrades, and you get health upgrades, and you get aura upgrades. You know, it's just so much simpler this way.
And then they redesigned all the levels so that all the levels actually look like places they went in the show.
Yeah.
Instead of like Kenshiro breaking out of jail in the first episode and all of a sudden being out in the middle of the wasteland, you actually have to escape from the prison jail, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and it really helps too in the fact that all the level design isn't just brown desert.
Yeah.
But that game is really fun. If anybody got the first Fist of the North Star game, definitely get the second one because it is miles better. You know what? Sell your first copy of Fist of the North Star and get the second one.
Well,
because,
I mean, especially if you have it on Xbox. Because Xbox, you have to buy another disc, where on PS3 and Wii U, it's straight downloadable.
Which is 10 gigs.
You actually have to have 30 gigs free on your PlayStation to download the game, which was a pain because I had to delete everything off of my PlayStation.
How big is yours now? Do you still just have a 60 gig?
Yeah. I have an 80 gig. It's still a fat model.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. I got a fat model for mine, but it's 120, I think.
Yeah, and then of course we already talked about it, but Final Fantasy, the new Final Fantasy Realm Reborn is coming out.
Yeah,
so that's gaming news.
So before we do our next podcast, I'll go check that out and see what's going on with it. The Final Fantasy, I've been on an MMO kick lately.
Well, because I might actually try turning it on, because I mean I have Final Fantasy 14. I just have to get it upgraded and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about like moving all my files and stuff onto my new hard drive. Oh wait, but that was the problem with playing it the first time. My computer's nowhere near powerful enough to run it. So,
so once again, I'll take over and check that out for you.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, guys. Now that gaming news is over, that was quick. It's time for some strange news. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that.
You're welcome, Dylan. You're welcome.
We just got a short story for Strange News tonight. Recently, the Chinese New Year happened, and upon...
Slytherin House.
Oops. China, for the Chinese New Year, China set up a system that women could rent a boyfriend for Chinese New Year.
It's like the Sadie Hawkins dance.
Yeah, and I know why this is happening, because, well, you, I was privy to this information from earlier, because you guys showed it to us, but the whole badgering from the parents because they're not, they don't have a boyfriend yet,
yeah,
that's funny.
Which yeah. is weird, because, like, you know, they have, like, the whole governmental population control over there. So, like, you'd think that they'd be like, get back, like, poking them with sticks. Stay away! No babies. I just think that that's, like, how does that job work? Do they have, like, is it like a car dealership where you go and there's, like, dudes on pedestals spinning around and they just like, I guess I'll take him home.
This is our new premium.
He looks.
I imagine it's a lot like Summer Wars, just way less eventful.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
And you probably get paid.
Yeah. I mean, well, I mean, what do you do? Go into the rent a boyfriend thing and it says, he looks believable.
How about Craigslist? Except yeah. with pictures.
Well, they pay like 40, it was, what was it, 48 USD an hour for the boyfriend, you know, to play along. And then on top of that, if
that's
they...
how much having a girlfriend costs.
Hey-o! they also, if they want to add a kiss into it to be more convincing, they have to add more money.
Oh, wow, I didn't read that.
Yeah. This is like doing that Japanese ordering menu where you order the girl.
Oh, yeah. For the cuddle cafe?
Yeah, the cuddle cafe nap thing.
Yeah.
So that's it for strange news, I guess. I don't know where to go from there.
Yeah, that got weird.
It would only get weirder if we kept talking about it. Let's keep talking about it.
Let's keep talking about it.
Do you think they have, like, do you want him to smell like this or smell like this? Like, different axe sprays all over the place. It's like, this is your new car smell.
Okay, we're definitely moving on.
Yeah, I wonder if they have, like, different tiers of boyfriends, and, like, one girl, like, waited too long and she gets stuck with some, I don't know.
They go to the prom together in. And it's like you...
Like
you,
a sumo wrestler.
It's like, you took the same boyfriend as me. Like, how dare you?
I just imagine, like, a romantic comedy where, like, one dude gets double booked.
Same restaurant.
He's running.
Asian Matthew McConaughey has to run back and forth. Like, I think we're done.
Okay, good. When Matthew McConaughey comes in. So I guess it's time to move on to what we're watching. Is anybody watching anything?
I am.
Excellent.
Yeah, I watched Naruto this week.
Oh, okay. Is it out of filler?
Yeah, it actually, I guess a couple episodes have been out.
How are they?
They were cool. I mean, well, I guess technically one was, well, one of them I didn't care about. Like, some of the stories for some of the characters I just don't care about. I guess because I've watched them, like, too much already. I don't feel like I need to know any more about them. But, one episode was pretty cool. Like, I don't know. I guess it was like a year ago. They ran in the, I don't remember. I guess it was the episodes where like Itachi did something to Naruto and you never really found out what that was
until
I guess this one of the later episodes that just aired. So you get to find out what he did to him.
So do they play it in the episode and they're like, do you remember this? And the viewer's like, no.
Yeah, it's been in the back of my mind like this whole time and I'm thinking, they didn't explain that, did they? And then when this episode came up, I was like, oh, okay, no, they didn't. Oh, that explains it.
That bugs the crap out of me.
It was like a year ago, I think. I mean, if I was reading the manga, I would have figured, I guess, read about it much earlier than now, but...
An element in storytelling like that always bugs the crap out of me when they keep you in suspense for, like, two episodes. You know, like, when like, they show a character say something, but it only shows their lips moving, and you have to wait to find out what they said to that character. And, like, if it goes on longer than two episodes, it drives me nuts.
Like, anything in East of Eden?
Eden of the East?
Yeah, that thing, whatever.
Anything East of Eden? Just anything on to the east side of Eden there.
Yeah, but yes, to answer your question, yes, that bugs me. Okay, in that case, I actually didn't watch anime. I've watched all my regular shows that I've already talked about, but I don't want to bore the audience. So the thing that... I watched in this past time, however long in between this episode, 2 weeks, I watched Ju-On, which, if you don't know what that is, it's The Grudge, the Japanese version of The Grudge, which is good. It was good, but it was really strange in their storytelling.
The pacing.
Ways.
Yeah, the pacing is weird.
They set it up in chapters, and the chapters are like 15 minutes long each, but they're different people. But
you just reminded me, I watched a couple of the original Japanese Ring movies, and one of them was really weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah. it's my turn, and I'll probably end up saying some of the same things that you would say.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. I'll tell it if you don't end up getting to it.
Yeah. The way that it's all done was they never actually told you a story in the whole thing. They showed you a little glimpse of something in the beginning. Like, they showed that the ghosts are children who lived in that house that were killed. But they never say who they were killed by, necessarily. It was a dude. Killed them, and I don't know whether or not, it doesn't say whether or not they were related, it doesn't say if he was just a serial killer, it doesn't say if it was his house that they broke into, or vice versa, you know, and it's just all these people, and these are the most unsubtle ghosts ever. Like, the ghosts just show up and kill everybody.
Yep.
It's not like one dude sees the ghost and then it goes away, and then like everybody thinks they're crazy. No, everybody sees this ghost and then everybody dies. It's so not subtle.
Yeah.
But some of the scare elements that they put into the movie are awesome. Like the one scene where the cop is in the room and he's watching old security footage of somebody dying in the building of the ghost. And then there's extended security footage afterwards where the ghost walks out of the room that they were killed in. And then all of a sudden it floats up in front of the camera, turning the camera completely black except for two glowing eyes, which was like super creepy, and then you could actually hear like the ghost like doing like its thing. Yeah. If you don't, that's what the noise of the ghost makes in well, The Grudge.
It just sounded like you were burping.
Yeah, it was. That's all the ghost says. It's actually kind of annoying, but it's really creepy.
I think
it's like a chill pill ghost.
When it comes to horror and Japan, they always seem to go towards the eyes. Like, every single Japanese horror has something to do with eyes, and I think that's because they understand that the most expressive part of the body is the eyes. So if they want to make fear, they use expressive eyes. So,
mm-hmm. Do you want to hear about the weird Ring movie now?
Yes.
So, I forget what the original one was actually about, like, Ringu, but I saw one where, in case you don't know about the Ring, like, at least in the American version, if you watch like a VHS VHS, remember those?
you would that?
Get basically like haunted by this chick, and she would come out of your TV and kill you.
Insane.
And that's how sort of the like curse was spread, by watching the video. But in this movie, it was like it was spread sexually, so it was like an STD.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it was really weird. I think it started with, like, one dude sleeping with a girl, and then, like, he was being haunted, and then I think someone got pregnant, and I'm realizing I don't really remember a lot of the details.
A lot of build-up for not a lot of payoff there, guys.
Yeah. Well, that's how STDs work.
Ew. Good thing.
Yeah. All right. Sean, what are you watching?
I'm watching two things right now. The first one is I introduced my girlfriend to Soul Eater, which is amazing.
Soul Eater is very good.
Ball is awesome.
Bones.
And then the other thing I'm watching is the new season of Power Rangers just started here in America. And they're trying to like recapture the essence of the original Power Rangers. And I have to say, I don't like it. Not even a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, it's bad. I'm not a fan at all.
No Tommy Oliver, huh?
No, it's just the fact that, well, yeah, no Tommy Oliver, one. But two, like, I don't know, I guess they're trying to find the magic in the bottle that was the original Power Rangers. But
Teenagers with Attitude?
What's that?
Teenagers with Attitude?
Yeah, no, and they even, like, kind of redo the opening sequence of the original Power Rangers with these new ones.
But, with like, 90s rock?
It just, yeah, there's, like, to me, it falls flat, feels forced, And I would just much rather see a new content, new, you know, a new storytelling device, much like they do in Japan. You know, like every season something new. And
yeah.
I'm tired of seeing everything rehashed. It's just not fun anymore.
Well, yeah. Saban only knows how to write one story.
Yeah.
Technically, he doesn't know how to write any stories because he's taken Japan's.
Well, that's true.
But yeah, so I will not be watching that anymore.
Well, what's this one called? And is there like a theme to it?
Yeah, it's a Power Rangers Mega Force. And no, there is not a twist to it because what they did in the other one, like the Japanese version, I believe it was called Gosai. Gosai. It was whatever Gosai. And it was Angels over there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and then over here, because they're not really doing the whole Angel thing, it's actually a lot more thematically similar to, like, Season 2 of the Power Rangers, where it's, like, mythical beasts and stuff like that are, like, the totems for the Power Rangers. But it seems like they're also going to get into Gokiger, which over there was, like, the pirate-themed one, where they could be the Power Rangers from any season. So I'm wondering if they're going to try and do something like that over here, too, as part of their whole throwback thing. I don't know.
Well, that would be interesting. I was always wondering if we were going to get the that one.
Yeah. You know, so, I don't know. I mean, I'm curious to see how it plays out, but at the same time, I'm not curious to actually, like, be there for it. I kind of feel like I just want to read about this on Wikipedia afterwards.
Yeah. Well, that's my review. That's my review style too. If it doesn't keep me in for three episodes is fair.
This,
you know.
Yeah. No. This didn't even keep me in for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, you got to give it at least an episode.
I did. I watched the whole thing. But 10 minutes in, I was like, I don't want to watch this. It was bad.
All right. So is it my turn then?
Yes. I guess so.
Okay. So I've been watching Boku wa Tomodachi ga Next, which is season 2 of the first Boku wa Tomodachi ga. Translation is I don't have many friends. Yeah. So, I mean, originally the first season was coming out to, like, I mean, of course, unless you read the manga, which I didn't. The first season was coming out to look like it was going to be a show about friendship, where as you slowly kept looking into the show and watching the show, it really turned into something that was like, oh, this is a harem masked by friendship themes.
Yeah.
And then also they made it filthy. They added a lot of fan service and a lot of really, really edgy, like, close to can't show on TV stuff, which is okay. I mean, I'm used to it because of Japan, but
for the series as a whole, the rundown is there are two kids in high school who don't have any friends with each other. One, because he's mistaken as a delinquent. Like, people just think he's a delinquent because of a bad impression. And then the other one just doesn't have any friends. As a matter of fact, she has an imaginary friend because she has so little people that she knows that she talks to some imaginary friend. And what they do is they decide to make a club with each other to make friends, which is, they call it the neighborhood club,
the neighbor's club.
Yeah, the neighbor's club, which they invited people who don't have friends into the club so that they could learn together how to make friends. And that was an ingenious idea, just poorly executed. Because in the first season, I thought it was like, oh, that's cool. We're going to have all these quirky people. There's going to be... But like, what ended up happening was there was that one dude, and then there was an all cast of girls.
Can I continue talking now? That was my anime that I'm watching?
Yep.
All right.
People can't tell the difference.
I know. Come season 2, they really, really tamed down the fan service that they were throwing at us.
Yeah, the first episode was kind
of... No, it was. It was still... Like, I think the first episode was kind of the, you know, the ease with the withdrawal of the first season. And then they kind of eased out of it, where now it's actually kind of fun to watch.
It's adorable.
Yeah, it's pretty cute, and it keeps going.
Took a whole season to do that, though.
Yeah, but now they're really turning it into a love story, where it's kind of hidden still, where they're still trying to be the neighbor's club, and they're still trying to be friends with each other. But, like, it's so obvious that these two girls like the main character, and they're kind of fighting for him. But they're, like, silently fighting for him because they're pretending to be friends. I like it. I like it, so...
Yeah, I'll continue to watch it, but even still, it's...
I don't recommend it for everybody, that's for sure. Sean, so we wouldn't recommend it for you. Absolutely not.
No, yeah, heck no.
And that's what we're watching.
Yep, that's what we're watching, I guess.
Next up is our Tamagotchi for the evening. And for this episode, our Tamagotchi is going to be anime-influenced America. We want to talk about what things in American culture are nowadays influenced by anime, where we can find it in all places, TV and comic books and anywhere. Even some toys coming out now, you know, are doing the same
thing.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like toys with you know, big adorable eyes and everything like that. So let's start with something. How about TV? Anybody got a favorite TV show? I sure do.
I have two.
You want to start, Sean?
Sure. Let's go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room, Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Which was
incredibly influenced by anime without actually being anime.
Well, the thing about Avatar: The Last Airbender is we hired the same studios that Japan outsources to in Korea.
Yeah.
So where Japan uses those Korean studios, we use the same studios just for an American show.
Right. Well, it's just, but it's very much, I've always looked at it as it's an anime with American storytelling, you know, because it doesn't follow your typical anime tropes and everything. It has a very much a Western story and all of the Western character development and everything just layered over like an Asian setting.
Also, not to mention, it's very obvious that we pay Korea a lot more to do the animation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we're America. We do that.
I know I like Avatar. I've never finished it.
Shame on you.
Barely even started it.
I know. Well, I'm on episode 7?
What?
How? Of it?
No.
There was one summer where some of our friends tried to get us to sit down and watch the whole thing, and it worked for a little while, but then...
For 7 episodes.
Yeah, but then we... Yeah, that was one sitting, and and okay. Then we never met again.
Guys, if you can get through to the last book, like the third season, you won't be able to stop watching it.
Oh, no, I have all of Avatar. I have all of it. I just haven't watched it yet.
I'm just
It's also free on Amazon. If you have Amazon Prime, it's free on Amazon Instant Video.
Is it not on Netflix anymore?
We don't have Netflix.
Oh,
I don't know.
It was on Netflix forever.
It might be still on.
And then there's one other one that I wanted to touch on, and I think this is one of the Flemings is wanted to say also, which was Teen Titans.
Yeah, that is probably both of ours actually. Yeah,
We both have our reasons for liking it.
Well, I mean,
other than
certainly,
it's good.
Yeah, other than it's good, because one, when it came out, we were young, so that was really my kicker for being like, "Holy crap! I want to work in the animation industry. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life." Because when Teen Titans came out, yeah, one, it was anime influenced, and we weren't into anime at the time. So that was one of the things that kind of kicked us off into being like, maybe we should check out anime. Two, that's what got me into comics. When I started watching Teen Titans, I started reading Teen Titans as well.
Yeah.
So that was huge.
Well, but it fed my addiction.
I just wanted to touch on something really quick. Because you said that was the thing that wanted to get you into animation. And I was like, man, I was an adult when Teen Titans came out. Like, I was just a younger adult. Like, oh, it makes me sad.
Working at the factories.
but it fed Andrew's comic book addiction. It certainly fed my comic book addiction.
I love Teen Titans.
It's still like I even still buy Teen Titans now with the new 52 coming out and everything like that, just because I owe it to Teen Titans. It's really bad. The comic book series Teen Titans is really bad. It hasn't been good since the new Teen Titans, or since Young Justice became the new Teen Titans.
I know, that was the best run ever.
Yeah, when after the graduation day arc with that, and then Titans started, which was when Cyborg, Beast Boy, Starfire and Raven left Young Justice to be by themselves. Young Justice, or the Young Justice new Teen Titans by themselves was just terrible.
I don't know how many people are going to understand what you're talking about. This is an anime podcast.
Yeah, that's true. I am going on my comic book rants.
So let's bring it back to Teen Titans then, like the TV show.
Yeah, TV show Teen Titans.
I mean, because then they even, after a while, they had the movie come out.
Trouble in Tokyo.
Yeah, which was Trouble in Tokyo, because they straight knew, hey, we're using Japanese influence in our TV show. Let's take it to Japan.
Well, and one of my favorite things is Glenn Murakami, the creator and director of Teen Titans. His favorite anime is Fooly Cooly, as is mine. And,
it shows.
Yeah. If you didn't notice that episode where Beast Boy fights the evil tofu, when he's transporting the evil tofu to save everybody,
he's riding a
yellow Vespa dressed as Haruko.
But instead of a P exclamation point, it says B exclamation point.
Yeah.
I remember that now.
Yep.
The source! But yeah, there's a lot of, even they take a lot of influence in their animation. Like you can find a video on YouTube of Fooly Cooly next to Teen Titans and see the animation influences that they took from it for the show. I guess the other show that's out right now, it's unfortunate that Glitch isn't here because he's the one who's been watching it, which is the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. It's not as heavily influenced as Teen Titans is, but if you've seen the show, which I've seen a couple episodes, it's really there. The way that they just bring out, anime influence into it, where it'll just cut, at some points in the show, it'll just cut to, like, they cut the background and it's just a solid color, and then somebody has, like, googly eyes or something like that. You know, it's just an element that they added, which is really new.
Wasn't Teen Titans really the first thing to do that whole kind of chibi exposition moments in a Western setting?
I think so. Yes. And that's the thing. When outside people looked at Teen Titans, they were like, this is anime.
Yeah, like that was when it was coming out. It was such a foreign concept at the time. When we would talk about Teen Titans with people, they literally called Teen Titans anime. And we just said, no, this is not anime. This is Western animation.
In the same sense, though, that Avatar was called anime, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's exactly what we're talking about. It's a blurring of the line between the two types of the two different philosophies of making cartoons. Because in the end, that's all we're doing. And it only makes sense that we're starting to see this kind of merger of both styles and ideas. Where we're seeing, and we have to admit that like Teen Titans and Avatar are very much great representations of what they do. So these are people taking good ideas from other places and incorporating them into solid storytelling apparatuses.
Which I think is a great idea because the Japanese have really got a solid story basis. For one, they know how to tell stories. They just don't know how to end them.
They're great with episodic stuff is definitely what I'll give them.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. They know how to tell a story. They don't know how to end them. So, I mean, we just take some of those elements from them and also add their artistic style, which, you know, over the past 10 years, even probably 20 years. Not in the early
30
90s,
years.
But I would say probably past 10 years. In the influence of anime and the integrating it into our kind of art styles has really been more accepted, where in the past it was not accepted at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely one of those things where, like, if you tried to imitate it, you were looked down on because it wasn't traditional art. It wasn't your, especially even in comic books where you see like your traditional sequential art does not have, you know, it uses traditional body types and structures and everything, whereas, what's it called when it's written down? Manga? Is that it?
Manga. We had a whole episode on this, Sean.
What's that?
I know you weren't here for it, but we did.
Well, fine then.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, even back when we were in high school, anime wasn't taken seriously as an art form, because we took a lot of art classes, And we had friends who all they did was take their influence from the anime genre.
Yeah, and you got the whole, you're an anime artist kind of a thing. You know?
Yeah, it was either that or the teacher telling you, you have to do something else.
And that's why I'm a writer.
Yeah, right. I'm pretty sure that it would be the same way in schools nowadays, though, with teachers, you know, like that, just because they're an older generation and they don't understand that if you want to break out into an industry like the animation industry or something like that, they're not going to look at anime as something to be taken seriously because we don't see it as a cultural aspect like Japan does.
Yeah. Well, I've got another really great example of mixing things.
Is it that hole in the wall game show? That's the only one I can think of.
Well, that's actually a Japanese game show that they ruined in America. It's all Japanese game shows, no matter where you put it, all Japanese game shows are better in Japan. Like Silent Library, they absolutely ruined Silent Library here.
Oh, and like Ninja Warrior? Oh, I hate Ninja Warrior now.
Well, it's so easy here.
Yeah. American Ninja Warrior is so dumbed down.
But here's what I was going to say. What about the anthology projects like Gotham Knights, Dante's Inferno, the Dead Space movies?
Legends, all that stuff.
Yeah, Halo Legends.
And now they're doing a Mass Effect one.
Yeah, they're doing Mass Effect. No, Mass Effect is all one studio. It's just a Mass Effect anime.
Oh, okay.
But hey, Mass Effect anime. But yeah, like the collaborations where they hired a whole bunch of anime and Korean studios and made, you know, Batman, they made Dead Space.
Well,
they made,
that all started with the Animatrix, didn't it? Like, that was, like, the first one of those?
Exactly, yeah, it did.
Which is funny because the Matrix was inspired by traditional Japanese storytelling. I mean, that's where Wachowski brothers got their stuff, was...
Wachowski people. Yeah, the Wachowski peoples.
I'm not very good at politically correct.
Yeah, none of us are. Have you listened to our podcast?
No, I'm in it. I refuse to listen to it.
But the one that really helped that take off was the Batman one, the Gotham Knights, because I don't even think the Dante's Inferno one and the Dead Space one got the big studios like Production IG.
Yeah.
And, Madhouse?
No, Dante's Inferno did, but it was the last one.
Yeah,
Dead Space didn't.
They had really huge studio names. The Dead Space one only got, like, Korean studios to do it for them.
Oh,
but
I think with the Animatrix and Gotham Knights as well, it was multiple directors doing, like, their own little vignette stories.
Yeah, I can definitely say, like, Gotham Knights, the Animatrix, and then Halo Legends, which was the third one of those, were all very similar in their execution and conceptualization. Where you saw this kind of anime take on very Western themes.
And they were good.
Oh, God,
they were really good. I haven't seen the Halo one, but I've seen most of them. Batman was amazing.
Oh, dude, the weirdest one for Batman was... the very first story.
Man, let me tell you. The one where, like, the four kids tell how they saw Batman and tell it all completely differently.
And Batman's, like... Batman, he almost looked fat, but it was because it was the studio that made that movie. What was it called? Tenkan Concrete.
Yeah.
It was the same studio that did that. So it looked really bizarre.
But it totally worked for the story style. Like, it had that really cool urban feel to it. No, I completely. If you guys haven't seen Halo Legends, if you're even remotely fans of the Halo universe, and you like these like anthology style anime stories, please, you owe it to yourselves. Watch Halo Legends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet James has it.
Probably.
He was on the podcast. He was on the last episode. Because he's a Halo nut.
Oh, me too.
But that's a good point. I forgot about that. So, actually, I wanted to talk about some comic books, you know, seeing that we had talked about comic books earlier.
Yep.
The first one that I want to talk about, which is fairly new, it's also a statue line to the DC Comics Amikami figures.
Oh, yeah.
They got American writers together and made anime Amikami stories. They were just one-shot comics. They made them for Power Girl. They made them for Catwoman. They made them for Supergirl. they did. I'm pretty sure they did the whole line of Phoenix. Oh, Wonder Woman was the first one that came out. I saw the Wonder Woman one. It was done by Amanda Connor as the artist, and I forget who wrote it. It might have been Jimmy Palmiotti.
Wow, really?
Yeah. They're a duo. They, you know, they're the married duo. They do everything together.
Okay.
It was weird. It wasn't very good. as much as I'm talking about it, it wasn't very good. And especially because Amanda Connor stopped doing the art for it halfway through. Besides that, she doesn't draw anime very well. As a matter of fact, the Amikami Wonder Woman didn't look like anime at all. The only thing that was really anime influenced was the villain who was the cheetah, who looked like Felicia from Darkstalkers. If you don't know, Felicia's the cat girl character.
Andrew knows her.
Of course I do. Actually, that's my Darkstalkers character. Yeah.
Well, what about because there's definitely several other. Even in so much as not just the like anime versions of American stories, but like there's tons of. Actual comic artists who have like heavy anime influence, like in so much as like Chris Bacchello, Humberto Ramos, and let's be honest, people like Joe Madd, who definitely kind of grew up on these kind of things,
who's like one of the best artists in the world.
Yeah, but his stuff is very Western, but at the same time, you could definitely tell that he's seen some anime, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, you can tell a lot. It's almost like the comic book artists who refuse, because you know they're out there, who refuse to watch anime because they were part of that high school crowd that was like, oh, you have to do more than draw anime.
Yeah,
like who don't know how to draw that technique. Like
it helps.
Like, because the thing is, they probably stayed away from it because they had that. Oh, you have to draw more than just anime.
Yeah.
But, like, it helps flesh... It will help flesh out, like, different styles and everything like that.
Yeah, and for those of you who don't know, any listeners who may not draw or anything like that, try... If you have any interest in drawing anything, try drawing anime. It's hard.
It's really hard.
Just because of the fact that it's so unnatural and it doesn't...
It's very, very stylized.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do eyes. I mean, I can't do anime eyes.
I mean, granted, I draw anime pretty terribly. Like, I cannot draw anime, but my art is certainly, like, all the illustrations that I do is definitely influenced by it.
Yeah, and if it's a style that you can learn how to do, it will help you in creating, very unique looking characters in your own style.
Yeah. Yeah. I do want to go on record by saying I am not an anime artist. Yeah. Anybody out there, do not say Andrew Fleming is an anime artist, because I am not.
Okay. So, well, I just want to get back to the, like, it's just like you see these artists who have been doing something that is very much a Western tradition, which is comic books, like in actual sequential comic books. And they are, pulling from like the best parts of manga and anime, which are definitely like the character designs and your action templates, like how they set things up to show motion and everything.
Yeah.
It's really neat to see the fusion between the two.
You brought it up earlier. I don't know if you want to move on.
Hmm?
I have one more. I wanted to mention like figurines.
Yeah.
What's that like miniature figurine set that you keep bringing up to me, Sean, I forget what it's called.
Oh, again. Soda Pop Miniatures. Relic Knights does a tabletop, game which is, they're an American company that does anime themed tabletop miniatures for a war game. And they did
Tentacle Bento.
Yeah, they're like, Tentacle Bento. They're totally like fan service chicks on robots with giant guns, and it's all gun bunnies and crazy mecha and chibi little characters called Cyphers. But yeah, it was kind of funny to see a something that's definitely what I consider to be a Western hobby, which is the modeling and painting and such forth in the war games, heavily influenced by such a Japanese subculture. There was actually another game that I found called Infinity, which kind of goes the other way, which goes much more into the, it looks like Akira and Ghost in the Shell with that heavy cyberpunk feel to it. But cool. I think that's what you were talking about.
Yeah. I was talking about Soda Pop.
Yeah, Soda Pop, which was the first one. But yes, I recently was introduced to the second one, and I figured I'd throw that out there too.
Nice. Yeah, cool. There's a Soda Pop game that I'm really interested in. I don't know if you heard us talking about it, but it's called Tentacle Bento. It seems like just a fun, crazy, awkward, good time.
That sounds terrifying, but I've never heard of it.
Yeah, look it up. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. It looks
I'm trying to find a way to buy it. Because it would just be so much fun to play with a bunch of people.
They might have it at Anime Boston when we go in the dealer's room.
Yeah, maybe. But
there's also the internet.
Wow. Yeah. Well, no. I tried looking for it there. Even like Game Board Geeks didn't have it.
Wow.
Or anything like that. I mean, they had it, but you couldn't buy it.
Yeah. But that just came up because you mentioned Amikami, and Amikami is like the epitome of
American
anime.
Influence. Yeah. The last one that I wanted to do for comic books before we move on. It's not technically American, but it is from our great hat. Udon Studios in Canada.
Oh, my favorite. They are my... All of Udon is my favorite. I love Udon to death.
Yeah. Udon is the official artists for all the, like, promo art.
For Capcom.
And stuff for Capcom. So they do Street Fighter and Darkstalkers and
Wait. All... They do all the promo stuff for the Japanese company, yet they're Canadian?
Yes.
Yes.
Huh.
Well, there's a Capcom in Canada. It's called Blue Castle, I think.
Damn globalization.
Yeah, Blue Castle Studios in Canada is Capcom.
Yeah, but for anybody who doesn't know who Udon is, it is just a team of fantastic artists, and they are all super unique in their own
way. Yeah, every single one of them.
You can pick out your favorite because they're all so different from one another.
I have.
And Udon, they release art books. They released an art book for, what's the new one that's coming out? Summer Wars. They're releasing a new Summer Wars one soon. And I am so excited.
I still have to see that.
Yeah, it's a good movie. But I just wanted to mention Udon because they're a fantastic studio, even though they're not super American. So
thank you, Udon.
With that,
for everything.
I also, now that we've covered pretty much everything that I was thinking about talking about, unless you guys can think of anything.
No, I don't think so.
You didn't think of anything?
No, nothing that you guys didn't think of.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to talk about, American influences in Japan.
In Japan. And I can talk about some of this stuff, which is pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, one thing that I wanted to start talking about is, like, if Japan, just in the same way that we find their TV shows, you know, Sean, you watch Sentai and Tokusatsu.
Oh, yeah.
Andrew and I watch the new animes. I'm wondering if Japan ever wonders where our new TV shows are, you know? Because I think that if they saw our work, they would think that we were weird.
Like if they watch Lost, and they get to the end of it, and they're like, I just didn't get it.
What if they did get it? They'd be like, oh, I understand it completely.
Damn that. The Japanese are just better at everything.
Yeah. I've always wondered, the example that I always use is I've always wondered if they've ever seen the Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy. Because I would always think that, like, another... culture would see Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy and say, that show is weird. Like, Americans are weird.
No, they would just be like you guys, where they're like, oh wow, the voice of Mandy is totally Raven from Teen Titans.
And you would be wrong.
Yeah, they would be wrong.
Because
Tara Strong plays Raven, Gray Delisle plays Mandy.
Really? They sound really alike.
Yes. They do, but they're different.
Oh, my bad.
They get the equal amount of work.
They're really popular. They're like the most popular of the
female
voice actresses. But it's that longbow style of comedy that, like, it's like, why the heck did that even happen?
Yeah.
Kind of comedy that I'm not sure if they would either completely understand that and think it's hilarious or not get it at all because it's like a different kind of comedy. The Japanese have the weirdest sense of humor. You have to watch a lot of Japanese, one, TV shows, two, movies, to understand what's funny and what isn't funny.
I wonder what they think of, like, Tim and Eric.
Oh, I know.
I don't even think that they would touch that.
Universally bad.
No, that's not true.
What? No, shut up, man. That's awesome.
Wait, you guys like Tim and Eric?
I love Tim and Eric.
Is awesome. I have every season on DVD.
And it's quiet.
Can we still be friends?
We're not friends.
Sean disconnected from Skype. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about when it comes to Americans or American culture leaking into Japan is when they when Americans and tourists and everything are over in Japan, they think American lingo is hilarious. And which I think it is hilarious because like because they use terms like oh my god and excellent
and good job.
Yeah, good job. Like they instead of saying that those things in Japanese, they say it in English because they think those things are funny. Because they think it's so overused in or not overused, but like they think that that's what we say all the time in America, where for some people it's true, but it's really not. And
you know, I actually just thought of a really good example of that where anytime you're watching Panty and Stocking, dude, they say stuff in English all the time.
Yeah, that's actually like the prime example, and like the same thing. What's his name? The Tekken character? I forget.
Oh yeah.
Where
Lee or something.
Yeah, his oh Lee. Yeah, his oh no. Well, maybe I can't remember right now. Tekken's my favorite, by the way. Can't you tell? And then but his catchphrase is excellent.
Yeah.
Like he's after every single sentence he says excellent, and so that's it's actually a very Japanese thing to say American things when at like weird times. Even the phrase like oops, like Americans say oops when they do something wrong. Japanese people find that hilarious. Maybe not hilarious, but
Well, didn't you say you had a teacher?
They find it entertaining.
Yeah.
They find it so funny they're going insane.
Anyway,
that's what hilarious means.
I wanted to finish this off because I read a story that there was about an American who was in Japan, and he came across a restaurant. Like he was going into a rest stop, and there was a restaurant, and lo and behold, it was an American burger joint, and it sported like this Chuck Norris looking guy,
Chuck Norris cowboy, and a
Chuck Norris cowboy in like an American hat, and he was wearing an American T-shirt, and they had the French fry cups were American flags, and the place was called Good Job Burger.
Wow!
It was. I read that story and I was like, that is the funniest thing I've ever. I want to go to Good Job Burger.
Yeah,
like I have to find that and find it someday.
I thought of another. Bit of America that I know Japan is fond of is baseball.
That's true. Yeah, very fond of baseball.
They like their baseball. And there's even like I know there's like bars like centered around specific teams and will air their games. And if they end up winning, I guess like they have super crazy drink specials or whatever.
Yeah, which is weird because like baseball is America's pastime, but that's actually more like football is America's pastime now. And yeah. Japan has really adopted baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those guys are nuts for it.
Yeah. Well, it's the same way, like, you know...
and they get so good at it that we take them.
Yep, exactly. Because we can't play anymore. Because we just suck.
It's baseball. Who actually plays baseball other than Japan?
I don't know. I'm a football and hockey guy, especially hockey.
MMA. Bam.
But that's all we had for the Tamagotchi, unless you guys can think of anything else.
Oh, he just mentioned MMA.
Oh, that's true. That was, mixed martial arts. Like,
yeah, pride fighting. Rampage Jackson is a hero over there.
That's true.
And Lyoto Machida, who does, like, straight-on, you know, karate.
Yeah. Well, is he actually Japanese, or is he Brazilian, fighting out of Japan?
But his martial arts style is Japanese.
Yeah, because he fights out of Japan.
No, he fights out of Brazil.
He fights out of Brazil.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. Oh, okay, well, never mind. I don't know. Yeah, anything else as far as Good Job Burger goes?
No, I'm
sounds
good.
Delicious.
All right. So I guess it's time for our shameless plugs.
Yeah. All right, guys. So if you want to join in on the conversation, you can send us an email over at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. All one word. Hey, join the party over on Facebook, where we're posting a lot of cool crap, like especially Besom updates. We're posting Besom updates. We're posting episode updates. If you're like, hey, where the heck are your guys' episodes at? They are in production. They're taking a long time. I'm sorry. It's a lot of recording, a lot of editing.
And then, Victoria from last episode has,
kindly taken over Tumblr.
She's jumped on top of Tumblr. So Tumblr is actually being updated, very frequently now, and it's very cool. And she wrote a really nice message to everybody, about, hey, I'm Victoria and I'm running Tumblr. It was great. I read it and it was awesome.
And she has some adorable gifts to
share. Yeah. Gifts, not gifts.
Yeah.
You are not receiving presents.
Free gifts, everyone. Send in your proof of purchase.
And of course, go view our videos over at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. That is where we are frequently posting or trying to frequently post. We will have some more episodes coming out soon. We have tons in production.
Yeah.
Even Sean has one in production. Yes. So, and then we have Nerdy Show. Go to nerdyshow.com. It is brand new and it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
Go. It's really nice. We have Wicked Anime plugs on the front page along with all the other Nerdy Show shows, which I
highly recommend.
Yeah, highly recommend.
Oh, yeah. The last episode of Nerdy Show that came out, Cap actually talked about all the shows that they're releasing, and he said some really kind words about Wicked Anime.
About Wicked Anime, yeah.
You mean he actually mentioned this? He didn't actually say anything. Yeah. He just like, and then there's Wicked Anime, and then he just kept going.
Yeah, they were talking. No. They were talking about our shows. They actually gave us a full like minute and a half about stuff, and they actually gave us a really. They made us sound like we know what we're talking about.
That's so not true.
I was about to say, did they listen to the show?
And then, so that's
seat of our pants here, people.
So you can.
That's not the saying.
Oh. So
find us at Nerdy Show.
Yeah, so you can find us on Nerdy Show. We are on the front page now of Nerdy Show. But you can also find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. I think that's everything.
I think you got it. Yep.
Wickedanimereviews.com or yeah, wickedanimereviews@gmail.com.
Now you're just making up websites.
No, yeah. Maybe someday, that'd be cool. Check out goodjobburger.com.
Good job, Burger. Steve Brule's Good Job, Burger.
Oh, quick, play us off.
And, speaking of playing us off, I don't know what song we're going to be doing this time.
We have a toss-up. We're either going to play, because we're doing the theme of American-influenced...
We're probably going to do the Teen Titans theme song.
Yeah, either Teen Titans theme song, but I really want to play Sugar Rush from Wreck-It Ralph. Because that's a great song, and Disney asked AKB48 to do it for us. Therefore, they wanted Japanese influence in their movie. So I think that's a good prime example. But then again, Puffy AmiYumi did the Teen Titans opening, which is also fantastic. So we're either going to play one of those.
Probably Teen Titans.
Enjoy.
Probably Teen Titans.
All right. So I guess it's time to end this podcast. The only way we know how, guys. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Seat of your pants? What is that?
That's it. You did it right.
That doesn't make any sense.
All right, I'm going to stop recording now.
Wicked A!
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. The Wicked Anime Podcast is made possible by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling friends, rating, and reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution in our monthly support drive. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com and click the support button on the top of the page. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all the Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social network. It's Wicked A!